Good morning, it's the 16th of June and this is King's College School Theatre Society Breakfast. We're here discussing Emma Rice's production of Twelfth Night that we saw yesterday evening at the Globe on South Bank. Hal, do you want to kick off proceedings? What did you think of the production values?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, I think it was good on the two levels. One, it was a kind of incredibly feel-good, rip-roaring production full of, you know, classic 1970s songs and dances that just are satisfying to watch and listen to. But I think on another level, there was a lot of really clever directorial things done to, like, highlight themes of, like, disguise and betrayal and traditionalist things. And I think actually the whole play was a discussion of traditionalism, but...
What did you feel it concluded about traditionalism? That was a good thing, a bad thing?
Tea. I think in general, the idea that it was not necessarily a bad thing, but it wasn't needed, and that it was like a not something to be cherished, which I think is quite amusing because of Emma Rice's leaving the Globe, but the whole, I think it was interesting the way the production was done, specifically because it was at the Globe and it was a classic Shakespearean play, so you wouldn't expect it to have been so transformative and new, and also because there were a lot of things that you think kind of subvert the original socio-cultural implications of Shakespeare's, like not men playing women, but women playing men.
Yeah, it gets all very difficult to keep track of those things. Was it the first time to the Globe for any of you?
No.
First time I'd seen Twelfth Night, and I'm just a little bit concerned, although I enjoyed it for its entertainment factors, and it was kind of entertaining, it was comedic, it was funny. I feel like I could have lost quite a lot of the value of the text, and often directors will tread that line between sort of humour and bringing it back to the comedy of now, and also sort of keeping tradition, and that just wasn't kept much at all, I feel, in this production. But I'm not sure whether I like that or not, because they went all the way down to the sort of comedic, sort of more base humour side, and I'm not sure whether I like the fact that we lost most of the text, sort of during the text.
Yeah, they jumped quite quickly from sort of crude slapstick humour and sort of modern interjections back to the sort of traditional Shakespearean sort of acting.
Shakespeare was very crude himself, though, of course. I mean, he's not beyond crudeness.
No, really
filthy punning.
I think it made me think that actually, it reminded me that theatre is for everyone. And then going back to traditionalism, the whole notion of Twelfth Night is an entirely topsy turvy world whereby, you know, you've got these inversions, and it actually, I mean, I know the play fairly well, and there were lots of sort of topsy-turvy inversions I don't think I'd sort of thought of before the production.
Such as what? What stood out for you?
Well, just actually the whole notion of the shipwreck at the start, to start with, which I think is less of a spectacle than in later plays like The Tempest, but nonetheless is
more
is
of a device, isn't it?
Exactly, it's more of a device, but they made such an enormous spectacle of it at the start. And it suddenly got me thinking about, I thought it was beautiful.
The way the whole, like, the choreography gangway was absolutely wonderful. I thought the way that they did that was really, really good.
I like the fact that the choreography was so beautiful and delicate at times, and yet they weren't afraid to send it up as well.
Yeah.
I loved it when Malvolio, obviously, in the tradition of Thomas Kemp, Shakespeare's Fool, who apparently went off script quite a lot, said, what was it? Oh, what's this? Community theatre or something like that. And yet they continued to play it very, very straight. I enjoyed that particularly.
Yeah. It was nice to have that, though, throughout, that they kept on, the sailors kept on coming back throughout, like, the scenes. Every
ensemble.
So often they came back. I thought it was really, really good. Sort of tying it
all together. It was nice to realise that as well, we were on a cruise ship, thinking, where's the sister sledge coming from? And then just all the exuberant costumes and lighting and the chandelier that was... It's great, it's like we're on the Titanic in a few moments, wasn't it? In the other century, parallel world.
As someone, I've taught it quite a few times as well, and I find Orsino quite a tedious character. You know, he's so pompous, so in love with his own being in love. I absolutely loved, I think it was Joshua Lacey playing, he was my particular highlight. I really like the twins as well, and actually making Sebastian's a bit of a thankless role sometimes. And I think that role was portrayed fantastically as well. But what were the other things that stood out for people there in the show. I loved him. I liked the sort of the Michael Flatley River Dance send up as well.
I was just wondering, is it sort of an Emma Rice kind of ideal to interact with the audience so much?
It's a Shakespearean.
Yeah.
I know, but I've been to the Globe quite a few times, but not quite that much.
Yeah, well, not particularly Emma Rice. It's something that I think all three artistic directors of the Globe have tried to do. I was lucky to see Mark Rylance back in 97, his Henry V, and when Llewellyn is force-fed the leeks. At the end, his head was right in the audience, and he sort of spat half chewed leeks into the audience, and so that's very much, I think, in the tradition of the Globe, as I understand it.
Yeah. I just hadn't seen it that much before. Yeah. So many people getting shocked
out
of the audience.
Definitely went for it, didn't they? And that was, it's really involving.
How did you find? Speaking of involving, how did we all find the experience being in the pit and standing? Because that's a different experience to theatre we might normally encounter. How does that change things for you?
I thought it was really good, and I was cautious at first, being of a smaller stature than some.
Never say that.
but you can see everything, really. You don't actually need to... I mean, we were quite close to the front, to be fair, but, like,
really close to
I also think...
It's the best place to be, isn't it, I think?
And it's even nicer, because when one of them is standing on one of the kind of out bits from the stage...
Yeah, the thrust.
Can really see, you know, it's not just when you're sitting in the upper circle and you can kind of see the figures moving about, and you can see big hand gestures, but you can see every bit of their face and the flickering of their eyes, and it's just...
You felt the atmosphere a lot more being down there, like, you really felt sort of involved and sort of interacting with it, which was really good.
Although when those boats came through, I felt like that would have been a much more impressive visual spectacle if you'd
from
been
up top,
seeing it from above. And seeing the boats sail through the heads.
I just like the proximity there. I liked it when Feste led Malvolio out just right past us in that solemn moment towards
the
end.
I think the tragedy of Malvolio is actually one of the best done things about the entire play. Because the whole time through, Malvolio is this completely ridiculous character. And he's not even... I mean, I've never read or seen Twelfth Night, so I don't know. But I imagine that he's played slightly less stupidly in a lot of other Twelfth Nights, you know, just completely humping all the pillars and at the end it's the whole point that the play makes, where it swaps around and you suddenly realise that the audience is the bad one for laughing at him and joining
really
in the cool joke. Because, I mean, I don't know if it's 100%, but I think it's quite heavily implied he kills himself.
He
puts the rocks in his dressing gown and goes into what you've been established as is an ocean, i.e. the audience, boats row through you.
Yeah.
So I think, and at the end you kind of realise, you think, oh, we've been laughing at him so
much.
It was. And he's just
and
gone.
It came right out of that sort of quite one of the Feste songs.
But
as
you
well.
Still didn't feel that it was that tragic at the end. I don't know, maybe some performances you might have felt that was actually much more difficult than it was, but it was done quite quickly, so you didn't quite feel the sort of depth of the tragedy there.
It was a really uplifting production, wasn't it? I think as a director you have to steer the ship, don't you? Because I think all Shakespeare plays are bittersweet and really complex, and I think it's a brave move in a way to say, right, we're going to have a particular vision for this production. I certainly needed to see that this week of all weeks, and in the place where we did see it. What do you feel the play as through that production had to say about love? That's a big question.
It's very complicated.
Makes us act very stupidly.
Yeah, certainly.
I'm not sure if it was true, but on the rings on the back, I think it had it in "Love We Trust."
It did say that,
on the back, which is the "In God We Trust" thing.
Yes.
Which is quite funny. It's I think the whole idea of it's kind of like almost like a hippie-ish idea, just free love. That's the kind of idea I got from it.
Yeah, it's less love. I mean, I think Emma Rice in her programme says there's actually precious little evidence of romantic love in the play. It's obsession, it's infatuation, it's impulse. You don't have a developed relationship. It's everyone sort of grasping at each other. I suppose a bit like Viola and Sebastian do as they are wrenched apart. That's maybe the most touching love. It was the love between the brother and the sister when they were reunited. That's always, it's a wonderfully contrived moment just in the play, but I think it's one of those moments I always sort of anticipate. How are they going to do the reconciliation?
I visually loved that when they were back to back and they just rested on each other's shoulder in a almost like a pair of swans. It was, that was really beautiful. Sorry, you.